in the 107th number of Psalms. Those of you who are able, please stand. Psalms 107, the 107th number of Psalms. Psalms 107. I believe that the book of Psalms has to be everyone's favorite book in the Bible. So much encouragement is found there. Like the words of the psalmist, starting at the first verse, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so."
Amen.
It's a comma, but we're going to put a period right there. That's enough. That's enough. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for the victory belongs to you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And if you believe that his mercy truly endureth forever, then you ought to. You may be seated. Is it me or is my mic low? Brother Green, what are we doing back there? I'm gonna be hoarse by the time we get out of here. For the time that is ours to share, that's what I'm talking about, thank you. For the time that is ours to share on this significant Sunday, I want to talk to you from the subject, see something. I love when y'all do that. Say something. Before I became the pastor of this very fine establishment, I had the privilege of having a meeting with the deacons. And in one of those meetings, Deacon Bell asked me, how did I feel about singing certain songs? Maestro, one of those songs in particular that he was talking about, I suspect that in this sanctuary, that this song has been lifted up again and again. There's not a Christian church that does not get excited when the saints of God sing the third scan of this beloved hymn. It goes a little like this. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It was grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Those words for many years have blessed the people of God who have sung them, who have heard them, who have remembered the profundity and the depth found within those very lines. Here again are the words that caused mothers to stomp their feet and clap their hands. Here again are the words that caused preachers to smile and prepare to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. It was grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. Aren't those words personal to you? I suspect they're not just words of an aggregate congregation. They're not just words of men and women sitting together in pews all across the world and bless the Lord by singing the songs, but that's your personal testimony, isn't it? And if you look back over your life, you understood that God has brought you through some situations and circumstances, and if you were not protected by God, it could have caused you to lose your mind. But through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come, and it wasn't because of my goodness. It wasn't because of my aptitude. It wasn't because you have so many credentials behind your name, but it was grace that brought you safe thus far, and it's grace that will lead you on. The words of amazing grace has blessed us as we think about how good God has been to us. God's grace has lavishly poured out, was lavishly poured out upon us for his goodness, for his grace, for his grandeur, and for his glory. We ought to be grateful. And on this Sunday, as we come looking at these familiar words in the scripture of the 107th number of Psalms, to remember that the grace of God did not just start with us, with our bad selves, but the grace of God has been lavished on the people of God throughout the ages, throughout the world, throughout this wonderful time that the world has been in existence. And the people of God, known as the children of God, the chosen people, known as the apple of his eye, knew something about God's graciousness in their lives. Now, not just we who occupy the space here at New Beginning, not just for those of us who joined in the congregational hymns, singing up Zion's to God, but to all those who have their hand in God's hand, know something about his grace. Listen to this. Listen to how these children of Israel have been blessed by the Lord their God. If you read Psalms 107 in its entirety, it will show you how God has kept his promise to be with his people, to cover them, to keep them, and to secure them throughout their lives. And when the psalmist writes the 107th number of Psalms, he speaks about their historical pilgrimage with God, where they have watch God open doors and make ways and grant provisions and give them what they needed just when they needed it most. They knew God would step in just when they needed him most, and they wrote about it. They sang about it. They got happy about it. It was not just a cognitive experience. It was not just something they ruminate about in their minds, but they got happy about the goodness of God in their lives. For those of us today, who have understood that God has been walking with us and keeping us and securing us and taking care of us for all the days of our lives, it's not just the cognitive experience. We're not just ruminating about how good has been, but every now and then, the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. This is not just something we simply ponder in our hearts. It's not just something we simply think about when we get home. This is something for us to open up our mouths and talk about. See, it's a sad Christian who doesn't have a testimony. It's a sad Christian who won't open up their mouth and speak about the goodness of God in their life. It's a sad believer who doesn't open up their mouth and say that if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. Listen to the words in this revelation. As it says, we're overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That's Jesus. Translation, victory is yours. And by the word of our testimony, that's our experience. The reason we keep on keeping on, the reason we're able to keep on pressing on, is because we've been covered by the blood of Jesus. And we have a testimony on our lips that through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. It was grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us on. This powerful song starts off with words that every believer should keep in their minds and on their lips. Check out what it says in Psalms 107. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. As you watch the text unfold, as you watch the movement of these 43 verses, you'll understand that the Psalms begin with what I would like to call a communal expectation. This call to thanksgiving is not a call for one or two believers to give thanks, but this call to thanksgiving is for everyone who's had to watch God work in his or her circumstances to open up yourself to speak words of thanksgiving to the God of their salvation. He says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. This song stands at the end of a trilogy of songs that says the exact same thing. I suspect that the psalmist understood that church folks don't always get it the first time you say it. So you got to go back and say it again. And then if they don't get it, then they tell me that the third time is a charm. So you got to say it again and again and again. So if you tiptoe with me to the Psalms 105, the psalmist began with these same words. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. And then if you didn't get that, flip over to Psalms 106. Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And just in case you fell asleep, then wake yourself up and look over at 107th number of Psalms. He continued this trilogy. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever. Let me give it to you again. In Psalms 105, the psalm says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name. In Psalms 106, the psalmist says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. In Psalms 107, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. I just said the same thing about seven times, and I said it the same way. And there are still some people in here looking at me as if I'm not talking to a community of saints who are gathered together in this place. I was not just saying that so I could recite you what the Bible says. I was saying that so every believer in this building could understand your responsibility to give thanks unto the Lord. If God has been good to you, if God has made a way for you, if God has opened doors for you, if God has provided for you, then oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. If you see something, you ought to say something. Let's go just a little bit deeper. In Psalms 105, the psalmist begins to talk about how good God has been with the children of Israel from their ancestors, the patriarch Abraham. And he walked them through all the lineages of their lives. He says, God has been with your patriarch, Abraham, and all those who came behind him as they made their way through Egypt all the way to the promised land. He gives to them what the psalmist would call their salvational history and shows them how God has had his hand on them from their ancestors all the way to their current situation. It literally means the same way God was with you, God was with your mama and them, God was with your grandparents, God was with those who preceded you, those who stayed down the street four blocks away, who was calling on the name of God. If God was with them, then God is with you as well. And if you want to give thanks for something, thank God for how he kept your parents. Thank God for how he kept your grandparents. Thank God for how he kept your ancestors. And he's still keeping you to this day. It's the same God doing the same thing. In other words, all the psalmist is saying is victory belongs to you. But now the psalmist is saying, now that you're in your promised land, don't start acting brand new. Don't start acting like you brought yourself safe thus far. Now that you're in your promised land and you got yourself a little corner office and a little car in the driveway and a few dollars in the bank, don't you go acting brand new and acting like you did it all by yourself and God ain't did nothing for you. Don't you dare tell anybody how you self-made. You a self-made man. You pulled yourself up by your own bootstraps, because the truth of the matter is that if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, he was with Abraham the same way he's going to be with you. But watch what he says in Psalms 106. In Psalms 106, the psalmist says that even when the Israelites made some mistakes and had some missteps, that God was still with them. I don't know about y'all, but I can relate to that. Even when they did some stuff they had no business doing and went some places they had no business going and said some things they had no business saying, God was with them. And the reason that you got to give thanks is because God didn't wipe you out when they were in the midst of their mess. Let me say it again. I said they made some mistakes and they had some missteps. Since I know you read your Bible every day, read Psalms 106 when you get home. And you will see that the children of Israel made some mistakes and had some missteps, but God was with them through it all. Translation, victory belongs to you. That's why the psalmist said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, because he could have left you in your foolishness, but he kept you instead of erasing you from the entire plan that he had for your life. I'm not just talking about the children of Israel, but I'm talking about the children of New Beginning. So let's be honest. Every last one of us in here had made some mistakes and taken some missteps. Every last one of us in here has done some things that we hope never goes public. But is there anybody in here who is grateful that God kept you even when you were making mistakes and missteps? When you kept on doing that thing that you said that you would never do again and said, God, if you get me out of this, I'll never go back to it. And yet you did. You made some mistakes and missteps, and God is still with you. That's because victory belongs to you. You done changed my entire message. God said, I'm still going to keep you. And if God forgave you for your mistakes and missteps, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Okay. In Psalms 107, the psalmist helps us understand, now that you're on the other side of your mistakes and missteps, and things are going as well for you as things are going for you, don't cease to thank God because you're now in a lofty place. He says, I want you to look back over your life and see every scene, every saga, every setting of your existence and realize that God's hand was on you. And when you get to the other side of your drama, the other side of your challenge, the other side of your burden, make sure you stop and give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Now look at Psalms 105. He says, your history gives you reason to thank God. In Psalms 106, your misery gives you reason to thank God. In Psalms 107, your blessings give you reason to thank God. And somebody in the place today can look over the entire spectrum of their life and say, in my past, he was good. In my foolishness, he was good. In my present situation, he was good. So now I've got to give God thanks for two reasons. One, he's good. Two, his mercy endureth forever. Oh, I see. So you acting like you don't know what mercy is. You must have missed the definition of mercy. It's the word hased in the Hebrew. Hased is the steadfast loving kindness of God. That loving kindness that God never restricts from his children, never takes back from his children. He always has his loving hand on them, and he meets us with mercy every single day of our lives. That's why Jeremiah said in Lamentations chapter 3, it was the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. He said, God has been giving me every day brand new mercy. I like that about God. He does not give us leftover mercy. He does not give us stale mercy. He does not give us mercy that's insufficient for the day that we have to endure, but he gives us brand new mercy every day. It literally means that God has more mercy than we have mess. He said, you brothers and sisters, we ought to give thanks. First of all, because he's good. And secondly, because his mercy endureth forever. And if you keep reading the 107th number of Psalms, you'll find out that not only does the psalmist give to us a communal expectation, but he gives to us God's continual restoration. I'm in the Bible, y'all. I hope you kept your Bibles open because I want you to walk with me through this little passage of 107th number of Psalms. The psalmist begins to show us the continual restoration. And I like the continual restoration of God. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. The continual restoration. Every time I need him, he steps in and works things out for my good. That's the continual restoration of God. Not when he feels like it, but brand new mercies every day. Continual restorations. When my friends get tired of me, when my family walks out on me, there's a God who shows up every time I call, and he will deliver, he will make a way, he will open doors. And the Bible says he restoreth my soul. That's what we call continual restoration. He gives us a few vignettes in this passage. It's three little scenes that the children of Israel have endured, have gone through, have experienced. And when he gives to us these scenes, he helps us to know that through it all, God has continually restored us and given to us an energy to keep on keeping on. I'm still in the Bible, y'all. After you read, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It says, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He says, he gathered them out of the land from the east to the west, to the north, to the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. They were hungry. They were thirsty. Their souls fainted in them. All of that was going on with the children of Israel. But in the midst of their destitution, God granted them deliverance. I don't know if you've ever been in a destitute place, but these people found themselves in a destitute situation. They had no place to dwell. They had gathered from the north, the east, the south, and the west. They were one in the wilderness for 40 years. Y'all know the story. And the Bible says, although they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, their shoes never gave out. Although they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, their clothes never wore out. Although they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, when they got hungry, God sent them manna from heaven. When they got thirsty, he gave them water out of a rock, and they were fainting within themselves. He led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They didn't have anything. And in the words of that old country preacher, they didn't have nothing, but they weren't lacking nothing either. Have you ever been there? Where you didn't have what you needed to get you from where you were to where you needed to be, but some kind of way God made sure that everything you needed, God always provided for you. You didn't know how in the world you made it from January to February, but some kind of way God stepped in just when you needed him most. You thought for sure the E on the gas tank stood for everlasting because you kept on driving and driving and driving when you were in your destitute situation. And some kind of way, God made a way even when you didn't think you were going to be able to sustain yourself from one place to another. I don't know if you've ever been broke, but I know what broke feels like. And being broke ain't no joke. I don't know if you've ever been in a destitutional situation, but it ain't no fun. And the Bible says that they were in a destitute state. And the next verse says, then they cried. to the Lord in their distress. And y'all ain't going to believe what he did. Y'all ain't going to believe what the Lord did. The Bible said, and he delivered them from their trouble. You know why? Because victory belongs to you. Yeah. It was bad for them. They didn't have what they needed, what they wanted. They thought they weren't going to be able to make it another further. But they cried out unto the Lord in their distress, and he delivered them from their trouble. That's destitution. Keep on reading these little vignettes, because vignette number two gives us not destitution, but desolation. If you keep on reading in your Bible, you'll find in verse 10 that he sat in darkness, shadows of death, bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was no one to help them. This is a desolate situation. When they fell down in desolation, it seemed as if they would not be able to recover. Desolation is a rough road to travel. But please notice why they're in this situation that they're in. They're in the situation they're in because they rebelled against God. Now, I understand that most church folks don't say amen at points like that. But somebody in here knows a little something about putting yourself in bad situations. If you were to be honest, there are some folks in here who said, God, if you get me out of this, I'll never do it again. Is there anyone in here who would admit that you've gotten yourself in some situations where you've had to call out to God? That's what the saints did. The Bible says here in the next verse, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. I'm so glad that God doesn't just restore us once or twice or three times, but every time you see yourself in a bad situation, you ought to cry out to the Lord in your time of trouble and say something. I'm almost through. But let's look at one more vignette. But there's another vignette in the text, because the Bible says in verse 23 that they go down to the sea in ships. They do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord, and there is wonders in the deep. He commanded and raised up the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Have you ever been there? They reel too and throw and stagger like how some of y'all was last night. They stagger like drunken men, and they are at their wits' end. Ooh, have you ever been there? Have you ever been tired of being tired? Sick and tired of being tired of being sick and tired. They're at their wits' end. He says, now, it's not destitution. It's not desolation. Now they're dealing with devastation. This devastation have nothing to do with their sin. This devastation is simply because they're trying to survive. Because sometimes life would knock the life right out of you. I mean, you just trying to make it from Sunday to Saturday, trying to get from one church service to the next. Life will beat up on you, and you never expected it. You don't know where it came from. Somebody just walked into your job and started firing off bullets. And the headline read said, 12 is dead, and the gunman makes 13. Life will knock the life right out of you. Isn't it funny how people will see your mistakes, but never acknowledge how you managed it. In this life, people will see your mistakes, they will see your rumors, they will see your regrets, but they'll never see the changes that you're making. That's why when you see something, you gotta say something. Because the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The ones looking at you, they might not be redeemed. That's why they ain't saying nothing. They still want to remind everybody about what you did yesteryear. They still want to remind people about how you used to act and how you still owe them $20 from 1972. But God didn't say, let the church folks say so. He didn't say, let them judgmental people say so. He didn't say, let the world say so. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You got to do like that blind man did. I don't know who he is. I don't know why he did it. All I know is that he told me to pick up my bed and walk. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Talk about who it was that delivered you, who it was that rescued you, who it was that was there for you, who it was who fed you, who provided for you, who walked with you in the middle of your wilderness. Tell them how you can't nobody do you like Jesus. Tell them how can't nobody love you like the Lord. Let the redeemed of the Lord say something. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. But now that you're doing big things, you won't say nothing. Now that you beat the court case, you won't say nothing. Now that you're making money and invested that stimulus check, you won't say nothing. Tell them how flawed you are and you still worship. Tell them how broken you are and you still bless his name. Tell them how you have a path and you still have enough nerves to praise God in public. Tell them how the things you used to do, you don't do no more. The places you used to go, you don't go no more. Tell them you don't just sing because you're happy. You sing because you're free. His eyes is on the sparrow. And I know he watches over me. You ought to shout until your haters see you. You ought to dance until the demons see you. You ought to cry out to the Lord until your family apologize. You ought to give them glory until they give back everything that they took from you. You can't just tell them. You got to show them. Because when they see something, they going to have to say something. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I said I wasn't going to tell nobody, but I just can't keep it to myself. Somebody ought to cry out, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. For those of you who waiting on me to hoop, it ain't going to happen. Because when I'm done, I'm done. Doors of the church is open. All those who are able, stand on your feet all over the building.